Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke again. And we're going to continue our study here. And so settle in. And we're going to get to interact a little bit with some familiar characters that we have grown to love that are a part of the New Testament story. Mainly that of Simon Peter. And I know that when we talk about Simon Peter, we often have a smile on our face as we think of the various different things that he is known for. He's quick to speak and sometimes to say things that you kind of shake your head and wonder why he's saying that. He has a boldness about him that we admire in many cases. But sometimes that boldness is rebuked by the Lord. But tonight we're going to really just interact a little bit more with Simon Peter and with the Lord Jesus. So I go to your Bibles in Luke chapter 5, and that's where we're going to be tonight. We've looked at the astonishing authority of the Lord Jesus, and we looked at some miracles that Luke has begun to unveil for us from Jesus' life. Let's remember, Luke is writing one of the four Gospels, and as he's writing this, he's writing this for Theophilus, which we believe is a Greek convert to Christianity, part of the early church that would have been planted by the apostles, one of them. Possibly Apostle Paul, who we don't know. So he's unveiling some of the miracles that the Lord has done. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," that is Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So this provides a setting for the story that we're going to hear, the account that we're going to hear. This is at the lake. This is the Lake of Gennesaret, is another name for the Sea of Galilee. So you can look at your maps if you want, and you can look and find the Sea of Galilee. And on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, you're going to see Capernaum. And so this is where Jesus spent a lot of time. And you probably could consider it the central location for his ministry while he spent time in Galilee. So he's there on the coast, and as was described, he's on the beach, and the people, the crowds, are just thrilled and want to hear more from him. They want to hear the word of God, and that's the way Luke portrays this teaching from Jesus. We've got to remember this, is that the inspired word of God here, the Spirit is inspiring Luke as he writes, to write it in a certain way, because God wants to communicate truth. And so we're seeing here that what Jesus is proclaiming is understood here to be the word of God. Now, verse 2, "He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." So you can picture that. These were small shipping, fishing vessels on this lake. And the fishermen were nearby, but they weren't in the boat. And they were washing their nets. I mean, these guys had just come in, as we'll learn, just come in from all night fishing. And I'm sure they were weary, but they were dutiful about their projects of getting things ready for the next time of fishing. So verse 3, Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. So Simon, here we are. This is Simon's ship. And I want to just take a moment and acknowledge here, this is the second time we've seen Simon in the Gospel of Luke. Who is this Simon? Well, up to this point, you only know him as Simon. We know that he has a wife, he's married, we know he has a mother-in-law, and we know this from chapter 4, verses 38 and 39, that his mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus was there in Simon's home, and he healed Simon's mother-in-law. And so Simon is a firsthand witness, I believe, here of a miracle of Jesus healing his mother-in-law. Up to this point, we don't know that this is Peter, the Peter that apostle that would have been so well known by the early church for his bold preaching on Pentecost and being the leader of that early church there in Jerusalem. But Luke is going to bring us up to speed here in the account that we're looking at today. But now we know that this Simon is a fisherman, and he has a ship or ships and people that work with him. And we know now that Jesus chooses to go into Simon's boat. So we're realizing here that what Jesus is doing is very purposeful. You know, we don't want to miss that detail. Could Jesus have gone into another boat? Yeah, he could have. But no, he chose to go into Simon's boat. What does he say to Simon? Verse 3, he prayed him, that is, he asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So the ship, Simon's ship, has become the pulpit. As Jesus now sits down and begins to teach. So Jesus asks Simon, would you push the boat out into the water a little bit? And he did. And so there Jesus sat down. Remember, when the teachers taught, they sat down. In our day and age, in our culture, you stand up. In Jesus' day, they sat down. And so now we see this. Simon is on the shore washing his nets. He's just pushed Jesus out into the Sea of Galilee. It must have been a calm day. Jesus, sitting in this ship, is now teaching the people, and what he is proclaiming is understood or known to be, as Luke has declared it, the Word of God. I hope you can picture this. This is partly why God preserves his word for us, is so that we, these gospels specifically, because they are in story form, and they draw us right in. So just imagine you being there up in the front of that crowd. You want to hear Jesus. You don't know a ton about him, but you know that he is a miracle worker. You know that he has teachings that are frustrating to your religious leaders. But your religious leaders don't have any answers. You know that this one Jesus was introduced in a really fascinating way, and you've heard stories from down in Judea about a voice coming down from heaven. You know that this Jesus is from Nazareth. He is a son of a carpenter, and you know that his own people in Nazareth have rejected him, and now he is with you. You want to hear him. Perhaps you don't understand everything about him. But someone like this doesn't just come along every day. This is a person who has got our attention. And so as Luke unveils this teaching about Jesus, what he says and what he does, we as readers are drawn right in. We're there on the beach. We see this Simon, don't know much about him, except he's a fisherman, he's married, his mother-in-law just was healed. And so Jesus teaches. We don't know what he taught that day. At least Luke doesn't tell us what he taught that day. Because that wasn't the point of this account. You see, Luke wasn't about trying to say, you know, this is what Jesus was teaching that day. What he wants to do is he wants to draw our attention to how God wants to use Peter. How God has a call on Peter's life. And as we are drawn into this, we are going to begin to think about how God desires to use us as people. And how God has a call upon our lives, first and foremost, to be his followers, to be his children, and to be his ministers. Well, he sat down, he taught the people out of the ship, and then verse 4 we read, and now when he had left speaking, so when he had finished teaching, he now says to Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep. Go back out into the sea and let down your nets for a catch. All right, Jesus is a carpenter. He's a teacher. He's popular. His fame is spread abroad. He is teaching what's understood as the word of God. And now he turns to Simon, a fisherman who has just worked all night long, and he instructs him. This is in the form of an imperative. It's not like he's asking him. He said, you know, Simon, will you do this? He is saying to Simon, Simon, go back out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Well, Simon answers him in verse 5 and says, Master, we've toiled all night long and we've taken nothing. Now, can't you feel for the guy? I mean, those of you that have worked night shift, right? You come home from working night shift, or ladies too, I'm sure, where you come home working from your night shift, and you don't feel like going back out to work. You don't feel like going back out at all. And he was out, and it wasn't even like it was a productive night. He caught nothing. So this man's dealing with some discouragement. His business didn't do well. He's dealing with physical weariness. And now he has a carpenter and a teacher telling him, get back out there for a catch. Now, he's just not any carpenter, not just any teacher. This is Jesus, though. And Luke has made a great case for us to look at Jesus more than just a carpenter, to look at him more than just a teacher. Right? We've come to that understanding. He's more than those things. He's the chosen one of God. He's the Son of God. Well, Peter addresses Jesus with that term master. And that term master is not your typical term like Lord or Sir or even teacher. It's a different term that Luke is the only one in the New Testament, only New Testament writer to use the term. And he only ever uses it in a reference to Christ. The term is a term of respect, a term that is used for someone who's a person of authority, like a superintendent, a boss, a manager, an overseer, one who stands over you. Well, think about this. This is the term that Peter chooses to use for Jesus. Did he have to? No. Did he have an example before him where other people use this term? No. This is the first appearance in the Gospel of Luke, at least. So he uses this term, why? What are we learning? Well, we're learning now about Peter that he is beginning to come to a point where, with Jesus, he's got some intrigue, some curiosity, but we definitely can see that Simon has a respect. He acknowledges Jesus's authority and power. You know what? That's a great point of application, right? As we think about Jesus, and we need to come to that point of understanding who Jesus is, and understanding that he is the one who is over all. He does have an astonishing authority, and I use that word astonishing because it's in the text. Well, we've worked all night long, we've caught nothing, but listen to what he says, the second part of verse 5. Nevertheless, at your spoken word, your rhema, At your word, I will let down the net. Master, one of authority over me, I've been out working all night long. I have caught nothing, but because of your word, because of what you have said, I will do as you said. And so, Luke tells us in verse 6, when they had done this, notice it's a they, did Jesus go out with them? I don't know. The text isn't clear, but seems as if Simon Peter has some partners in the business. When they had done this, in other words, obeyed what Jesus had said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets broke. Wow. There we have it. They obeyed what Jesus said. Now, they obeyed. Why? Why did Simon do this? Why? I believe what we see here is this beginning, this little seedling of faith. This little seedling of this that's coming up out of Simon as he has seen him do Jesus do a miracle. As he's listened to his teaching. And now as he's interacted with him personally, and Jesus has instructed him to do something, and Simon says, yes, I will do it. Why? Because you said it. Because you spoke that word. Wow. Well, of course they caught fish. I mean, Jesus, that's what he told him to do. And he told him to let his net down for a catch. Not just for some sort of game, not just to make Simon more tired, but for a catch. And Simon believed Jesus. And as God always does, he comes through. And their nets are full. Verse 7, they beckon to their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come, and they help them. And so they came, and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink. I'm not a fisherman. I've fished with a pole, but I've never fished with a net out in the deep, in the sea. Maybe some of you have. But I can only imagine, you've seen pictures of these things, these boats with these nets on the side, and you catch a fish, you pull it in over the side of the boat, and then I guess, what do you just sit on the fish until you get back to shore? I don't know. But nevertheless, you're full of fish, and these boats are so full, you're almost sinking. And when Simon saw this, verse 8, all right, when Simon saw this, now notice what Luke calls him in verse 8. Simon what? Simon Peter. Now this is the first time that we realize this is the Peter of Acts. This is the Peter of the epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. As Luke is writing along, we've seen Simon, and now it's Simon Peter. Because I believe what God is doing through the inspiration of the Spirit here in Luke's writing is he's beginning to connect the dots between the faith and the ministry of the Apostle Peter, which would have been well known in the early church in the days of Luke and Theophilus. And he wants to connect Peter to that ministry. Connects now this Simon to Peter. Simon, of Hebrew origin, meaning to hear or to have heard, excuse me. And of Peter, meaning rock or stone. Well, Simon Peter, when he sees this, when he sees what Jesus had done, he falls down at Jesus' knees. And he says these words. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Depart from me. for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why did he say that? Well, I believe what we're learning from this is that when a person, when we are confronted with the astonishing authority and work of God, in comparison, we see ourselves for who we really are. Dear church, the ministry of the Scriptures is to reveal God in all of His holiness, in all of His beauty and power and might. And in the process, He also teaches us and points us to the fact of our own sinfulness. And that is magnified when we understand the greatness of God. And here what we see with Peter in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 is when Simon Peter is confronted with this astonishing power and authority of the Lord Jesus, he can't help but fall down in front of Jesus. This is this hardened fisherman. And he falls down in front of Jesus and he says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Did Jesus say he was a sinful man? Did Jesus look at him and say, point his finger and say, "Oh, Peter, you're a sinful man"? No, he didn't have to. Because Peter recognizes this when he is in the presence of God. This was an incredible moment in Simon Peter's life. As you can only imagine. I mean, one moment he's washing his nets, he's weary, he's tired, he's discouraged. And the next moment, he is on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, having just witnessed an incredible miracle. Having just witnessed Jesus Christ declare something, he obeys, and what Jesus said came true. This is our God. This is our Savior, church. This is the way he works, and I love how he works with Peter. And he's working with Peter all throughout his ministry, and this is just the beginning of Luke's telling that story. And Luke wants Theophilus and wants us to begin to see and get to know Peter for who he is. And this little moment is important because we get to see that Simon Peter had this point of brokenness, had this time in his life when he bowed on his knee, bowed and on his face before the Lord Jesus as he realized just how astonishing a power and authority Jesus had. Notice he calls him Lord. He says, "Oh Lord." You know, he began by saying, "Master, you're my superintendent. You're somebody that is over me." And now he calls him, "Oh Lord," kurios, sir, a term of respect. A term of somebody who's your master and you serve them. Luke helps fill in some of the details in verse 9. It says, "For he was astonished." There's that word. That's why I keep using it. "For he was astonished." That's Peter, Simon Peter. "He was astonished and all that were with him at the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." So just take a moment here and realize what Luke is doing is he's beginning to introduce to us some very important characters. I mean, this is a drama that is unfolding in real time, and Luke is telling it to us as a historian. Simon Peter, now we know he's on the scene. Now we've also noticed James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, if you read the other Gospels, they tell this same story, but they give different details. We know that Simon Peter had a brother named Andrew, and Andrew would have been a part of this process as well. But Luke is only revealing these aspects of the account and story because he has, I believe, a very specific thrust and focus in his teaching and in his writing. He is seeking to confirm the faith of Theophilus and the teachings that he has heard about Jesus Christ. So the teachings and the actions of Jesus are paramount in Luke's writing. So, Jesus, in middle of verse 10, says to Simon, notice it's just Simon, says to Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth," or from here on, from now on, "you shall catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, as I'm reading that last verse may be a clue to the point that perhaps Jesus was in the boat with them and watching and observing this the whole time. So here's Simon. He's humbled. Jesus is astonishing power and authority. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, Phobos. Do not be afraid, Peter." Why did he have to say that? Well, I believe he understood what was going on in Peter's heart. And this is recorded for us because we need to have that kind of respect for our God. You know, perhaps we don't necessarily see these kinds of miracles, per se, in our day. We're not seeing and hearing Jesus say, go out into the deep and your nets are going to be filled up. We're not seeing Jesus walk into a room and heal somebody necessarily. But we know that Jesus has that capability, that power, and we read about these things in the Gospels. And they are there to draw our attention to his astonishing power and authority. And when Simon comes face to face with that, he's on his knees, fearing the Lord as of respect. That's so key for us in our life. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be terrified of me. Don't be terrified of what you've just seen. But from now on, you will catch men." What did that mean? You realize, don't you, that the illustration is right in the text. The explanation. What Jesus did was he had in his mind, in his heart, a desire to call Simon Peter to be his follower. And so he spoke Simon's language. He spoke the language of a fisherman, and he did it by saying, "Hey, go back out and fish. And as you are out there doing what you know best, I will show you who knows best. I will show you who truly has the authority to control the very fishes of the sea. I will show you God's power." And he spoke Simon's language, and Simon, after this, we see him forsaking all and following Jesus. Catching men. This is really what it means to be a Christian today. We're a follower of Jesus, hence Christian, Christ follower. We are one who clings to his teachings. But why? Was it only the apostles who were to be fishers of men? Which is interesting, isn't it, that the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, they speak of the Jesus using the words, "I will make you fishers of men." Luke, what he does is he says, this is what the result is going to be. You will catch men. God's call upon a Christian's life is such that not that we just are to trust in Christ and then we just sit back and twiddle our thumbs and wait for him to come. God's call on a Christian's life is to be busy about a work, about his work, about his ministry. And what is that? It's catching men. It's about being a part of God's work of drawing people. God draws people to the net. You put that net down in the water. You see, God wants to use you and me for his work. That's part of his divine plan for the church. And so what we're seeing here as Luke is explaining the gospel story, we are introduced to this powerful ministry concept. This concept that we need to grasp that life for a Christian is not about just hearing what Jesus teaches. Not just about studying the Word of God. But it's about taking those truths and ministering to it into a lost and dying world. Setting the nets down into the deep. And God will draw the fish to the net and bring them in. But God wants to use you and me. You know, praise be to God that he does the drawing. Praise be to God that he's the one that brought the fish to that net that day for Simon Peter. But you know what? He wanted Peter to go out into the boat, into the deep, and he wanted Peter to put down his net. You know, God speaking to my heart tonight is, you know, how am I putting down the net? How am I obeying the instructions and commands of the Lord Jesus, even what Matthew records at the end of his gospel? Go ye into all the world, make disciples. Put your net down. I want to remind you as well of what the Gospel of John records. Now, this isn't in Luke, but at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, after he had risen from the dead, and he appeared again to his disciples. He appears again to Simon Peter in John chapter 21, and they have this special moment together on the beach. And it could have been a very, very near where they were in this situation in Luke. But it was that day that Simon Peter said to his fellow disciples, to the other disciples, I go a fishing. And they say, we're going to go with you. In John 21, verse 3, they went forth, they entered into the sheep, and all that night they didn't catch anything. Verse 4 of John 21, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, you have any meat, any food? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Listen, don't you think that what Jesus is doing is he's connecting the dots in Peter's mind? Remember that day I called you and told you you would catch men? And now on that beach of the Sea of Galilee again, he calls out to his disciples, Simon Peter being one of them, and he says, put your nets down into the water on the right side of the boat. They did, and they caught many fish. Church, if the Lord Jesus tells us instructs us to proclaim the gospel, to be faithful to the end, to let our light shine. He's not just telling us that to sound like he knows fancy words. He's sharing that because he has a plan and a purpose to catch men and women and children, that they too might be his followers. You see, this catching men is not to trap them and cause them harm. This is to catch them that they might be enamored with Jesus Christ, might be captured with his grace, might cling to his word, and become his disciples to the point that they too join the team and let down their nets that others might come to Jesus. I think the call is clear to Peter. It was so clear to him and his partners that they left everything that day and they followed Jesus. How clear is it for you? How clear is it for me? That God has a call on your life and on my life. And it, a part of that call is that we are ministering in the lives of men and women around us the truth of Jesus Christ. That others might come. You know what? Someone did that for you. Somebody let their net down. And they shared with you the gospel. Could have been a preacher, camp counselor, a parent, a friend. Somebody did that for you. And God drew you to himself. Let's be a part of that team. Let's think about that as our calling. Let's catch men. And let's do it together. As the Church of Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word tonight. And we thank you for your teaching us. Lord, use us. And I pray that we would see much fruit, many fish. Many come to know you. Show us, even now, Lord, people that you want us to minister to. And give us the boldness, the courage to let down our nets and to believe your word. In Jesus' name, amen.